What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets powered by FZN. I'm your host, Chris Meany. Thanks, as always, for taking the time to hang out. This is episode 16 of Mean Streets. The Brett Hall, Bobby Hall, Bobby Clark, Pat LaFontaine episode. It's my best impression of Rick Jenneret. Pretty weak, but an unbelievable play caller, so I just wanted to give him a bit of a shout-out there. But really, Whitey Ford, Dwight Gooden, Tyler Lockett, Joe Montana. A lot of greats to wear number 16. Actually, you know what? Not a lot of greats. I lied, but some beauties for sure that have wore 1-6 in sports. This has just been a crazy day in the NFL if you've been following along on your Saturday. It's been a crazy week. Hopefully, you know, all my American friends had a great American Thanksgiving with some family, and hopefully you guys were able to just be safe and enjoy the time together. It's you don't need me to tell you how crazy 2020 has been. You know, sports aside, it's been a crazy year, and we're really starting to see COVID ramp up in the NFL. There's been numerous cases that have popped up over the past few days, and you know, just before I got on here, there's been some madness that I'll talk about, you know, in a few seconds. But I just wanted to give a little bit of a reminder that we are on this show giving away a Jerry Jeudy mini signed helmet, just a couple subscriptions away now from having that draw. So hopefully next week we'll be able to have the draw and announce the winner for the Jerry Jeudy mini signed helmet from Pristine Auction. If you want to get in on that draw, screenshot subscribing to Mean Streets, preferably on the YouTube page. If you hit the like button, you're watching there, leave a comment, a question. I'm sure you have a start or sit question. I mean, I have several. So if you have a couple, don't be shy. I can get to them before Sunday kickoff. Like I said, it's just been a wild week, but I appreciate everybody who has sent that email over showing that they've subscribed. If you're on iTunes, please really appreciate. This is kind of an iTunes giveaway, but taking, you know, subscription wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. And if you do watch on our FTN YouTube page, we really appreciate that as well. If you can just subscribe, send the screenshot over to meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. Everybody who has already done so, even from episode number one, I have your name on standby in the draw, and it's just going to be the first 50. So I just need 50. I see a lot, 400 plus subscriptions on the YouTube page. I'm seeing several people rate, review, subscribe, the 5 stars on iTunes. I really appreciate that. So if you haven't yet shown me that you've subscribed, get in on it. I mean, you don't even have to be a Broncos fan. You could have a friend in the family who's a Broncos fan or just a football fan in general, and then your Christmas gift is right there taken care of as well. And just a couple subscriptions away, the same sort of deal over at FTN Fabcast, a weekly audio podcast. Looking at waiver wire pickups every single week on Tuesdays is when it comes out with myself and Matthew Wood. Giving away an Allen Robinson signed mini helmet as well. So a couple giveaways. Screenshot, send it over again to meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. 3 minutes in and I haven't talked about the madness in the NFL. It is crazy. This is kind of how the Saturday has gone. Woke up earlier this morning and recorded a show with my guy D-Bro, based around Stat Hero. Check that out if you were a subscriber over at FTN Fantasy. You can see that show for free. $19.99 the rest of the way is going to get you all the season-long fantasy football content, including rankings, which you may need this week. And I'll need to take a peek at Brad Evans and Jeff Ratcliffe's rankings as well, just to see where they are, you know, when it comes to some of these players that have just popped up. I have a decent feel on some of them, but this is a crazy week. So woke up Saturday morning to record that show. It's basically a Survivor show. You just play Stat Hero, play a quarterback from one team, any four flex you want, and then a kicker from a random team, and you just have to beat Stat Hero, and then you move on. It's like Survivor. So it's a pretty cool concept. I like it. But before we got on and we started recording, D-Bro says, oh, Jonathan Taylor just tested positive for COVID. It's like, ah, man, he just came off his best week. Of course, like, NFL aside, you're like, you don't want to see this and hear this, and you hope that he's okay. I just want to get that out there, that I'm not totally selfish when it comes to fantasy football and things like that. So hopefully Jonathan Taylor can bounce back and he's fine and all that stuff. But then you hear that, and then you hear that the Ravens and Steelers, the COVID list between those two teams grew to 18 players. James Conner, cancer survivor, tested positive for COVID. Then the Lions fire Matt Patricia, which is probably, you know, a few months too late, but they've done it. They were embarrassed on Thanksgiving. They did it. Matt Patricia is straight up, I'm trying to be nice here when I say this, loser when it comes to some of the things that he's done in Detroit and calling out some of his players and former players. I don't know if you heard with the Darius Slay thing and, you know, reaching out and on his Instagram and taking a picture and showing it and, you know, in front of the team and all that. It's just nonsense, some of the things that I've heard about Matt Patricia. So it's a long time coming there. And then you hear that the 49ers don't have a place to play or practice. Now they're playing against the Rams in Los Angeles this weekend. But according to reports, Santa Clara County officials say that no pro or college sports teams are able to have games or practice in the county that include direct contact for the next 3 weeks. So that, of course, includes the 49ers, who have two home games in the next 3 weeks, December 7th and 13th. So that's wild. And if you think it just ended there, the Broncos have zero quarterbacks to play this weekend. So according to reports, it's looking more like their practice squad wide receiver, Kendall Hinton, who played quarterback at Wake Forest for 3 years, 2015 to 2018, is most likely going to be the starting quarterback for the Broncos this week, because we have Drew Locke, Brett Ripon, Blake Bortles not allowed to play in Week 12. Jeff Driscoll tested positive for COVID on Thursday, and all three of those other quarterbacks in Locke, Ripon, and Bortles, close contacts. So that's been the last 72 hours or so, all four of the Broncos quarterbacks completely wiped out. None of those guys are going to play. It doesn't seem like the game is going to get postponed or canceled, which is crazy. Again, like the Ravens got postponed twice. They were supposed to play on Thursday. This is how the week really started. We had two Thanksgiving games. The Ravens and the Steelers were postponed from Thursday to Sunday and then to Tuesday. And other teams have, I mean, the 49ers had to play 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago with nobody. There were several players not only hurt but tested positive for COVID, but yet they rolled out a team and got killed by the Packers. And now I think like the Broncos are getting screwed here a little bit. There was already a game earlier in the year when they played the Pats, and that was pushed back, not because of any COVID tests on their team. It was more so the Pats. So this is strange. You saw my guy Jerry Jeudy, signed helmet Jerry Jeudy, say that he tweeted out that he was going to give his best Lamar Jackson, you know, play some quarterback. Then we saw Royce Freeman, you know, some reports surfaced on Twitter that, you know, former quarterback, played a little bit of quarterback, would potentially maybe get in there and play some quarterback. Then he starts getting picked up in seasonal formats. His ownership in Yahoo leagues went from 0 to 4% in 12 minutes. It's crazy how in tune people are these days in fantasy football and sports just in general and social media. And then you see the Kendall Hinton news. And now he's a quarterback on ESPN leagues, in CBS and Yahoo leagues. He's a wide receiver. I like to play in leagues where you can't pick up anybody anytime, because those who are having a Saturday evening with their family and for supper, and then you hear all this news, I mean, the Jonathan Taylor thing, and all of a sudden Nyheim Hines, he's most likely owned, but Jordan Wilkins becomes a flex. And then, you know, James Conner, and then Benny Snell becomes an immediate pickup as a borderline RB2, and certainly probably widely available in a lot of leagues. And then this Hinton news, and I'm not saying to go and grab him, and I don't think he's a great start, but you could be in a 16-team league, and Hinton in Yahoo leagues or CBS leagues can all of a sudden be a flex play for you at the wide receiver position, even though it looks like he's going to play a little bit of quarterback. So just looking at him overall in general, and you know, losing my train of thought, and my whole point of bringing all this up is that to make it as fair as possible in your leagues, you should just have a couple waivers run. Like have it, I like to have them run Thursday morning. You get the practice reports all day Tuesday and Wednesday. You put in your claims Wednesday night. Then when you wake up Thursday, you have your players there. Tuesday's very tough, especially in this landscape of the world. And in the NFL, a lot of players are not even practicing on a Tuesday when they're dinged up. They have some injuries, or if the COVID thing is happening as well. Just, it gives everybody in your league just a fair shake. I mean, it's tough as it is playing fantasy football now, heading into these last few weeks and into fantasy football playoffs, it's going to be a nightmare. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be a wild, wild finish. Now, you can't change these settings now, but it's something to think about. So have waivers run potentially on a Wednesday evening. Then you could have them run again on a Saturday morning or a second time on a Sunday morning, so that not everybody, it's not just first come, first serve. It's not, I just don't think it's totally fair for the people at home like me. I'm this is my job. I could have picked up all of these guys when it happened. I see the alerts right away. Now, not trying to be a hypocrite, I did pick up Kendall Hinton in one of my leagues. Now, I'm not the commissioner. I don't make those rules. So I can go pick him up if I want to. But I'm sure there's some people out there who are a little bit upset that they weren't around to pick up these players whenever they wanted to. So just something to consider and think about. I don't think like free-for-all waiver wire grabs should happen. I think that there should be a – I think everybody should be on the same playing page. And, you know, put your bids in, put your claims in. Everybody has a shot to grab Kendall Hinton. It would be fun. It's cool. It's fun, right? Like if there was a situation where I had to bid on Hinton, I'm probably not spending any money. But there's a couple people out there in tough spots that, you know, maybe they want to. Maybe they're a Broncos fan and they have Jerry Jeudy and all of a sudden they want to see a little Hinton Jeudy. They want to have some fun with it. I don't suggest it. With Hinton going under center with the Broncos, I don't know if I'd play any of the Denver Broncos, to be honest with you. Like Melvin Gordon and Philip Lindsay, both of these guys last week combined for under 200 rushing yards and 31 carries. Now, it was a much better matchup against Miami. They allowed the 10th most rushing yards per game heading into week 11. As we head into week 12, the Saints have one of the best defenses in football. They've allowed the second fewest rushing yards per game. They've allowed the second fewest yards per attempt on the ground. They've allowed the fewest rushing touchdowns. They're a legit defense. If you have them in your season-long leagues, you're loving it. They could score 20, 30 points in this matchup. In DFS, they're going to be extremely popular and chalky, even though they're very expensive. I jumped on the Pat Mayo show on Thursday morning, and we talked DFS for Sunday. It's free on the media on the Mayo Media Network. You can check that out. And I told him I thought the Saints were going to be the number one scoring defense already, going up against Drew Lock, who had more picks than interceptions. And now they're throwing a wide receiver, well, former quarterback turned wide receiver off the practice squad, most likely under center. So how many points are the Saints going to get? It's not an ideal situation. I don't know if Hinton's going to throw the ball 15, 20 times. I don't think he will. Wide receiver slash quarterback going up against a tight end slash quarterback in Taysom Hill. This is kind of where we're at in 2020. Hill, Hinton. It's unbelievable that it's, we'll talk picks and props in a little bit. I have a few for you. I had the Saints minus 6.5. That's just completely off the board. I had to switch a couple things up. When we get a line, that should be double digits. It's probably a total that is going to be below 40. It was 43 in general heading in before the quarterback news. So I would just be a little cautious, especially with your season on the line, to roll out a Jerry Jeudy, to roll out a Tim Patrick, Noah Fant, maybe with the landscape of the tight end position. I'll run through some rankings here on this show to give you a bit of a feel for where I have guys ranked heading into week 12. But I would just temper expectations. Even Hinton, I don't know what we're thinking here, best case scenario. I retweeted a few of his plays from Wake Forest. I'm looking here at his stats, 2015 to 2018, completed 52% of his passes. He had 8 touchdowns and 7 picks. To be honest with you, Drew Lock has more interceptions than touchdowns this year. I think he's got 11 picks, 7 touchdowns. He's only completing 55% of his passes. I want to say that this isn't that much of a downgrade, but at the same time, you're throwing Hinton in the NFL, who I saw my guy Dane Brugler from The Athletic tweet that he had given Hinton a 7th-round draft grade at the QB position a few years ago when he was taken in the draft. So it's not like we're talking about a quarterback who's just going to be able to sling it. I think they're going to run the football a lot, but I don't think they're going to have a lot of success running the football between Lindsay and Gordon and maybe Royce Freeman in there. Could be some wildcat plays. I've seen Lindsay do this before in the past. Maybe the backs I would play just because of the situation. But honestly, I'm avoiding all of this. And Hinton, from a quarterback standpoint in ESPN leagues, I mean, no. Don't do it. I mean, super flex, you got to be hard up, but we're not getting too cute here and rolling out Hinton over Phillip Rivers or Teddy Bridgewater or Carson Wentz, some low-end QB2s that you were considering. Honestly, I know I can hear you say that I would rather play him over Carson Wentz. I'm telling you right now, it's probably not the best call. I'll eat crow on Monday. I don't care. I'm just trying to help you out a little bit here with this Kendall Hinton thing. You know, a shout out to my guy Drew Livingstone, and you know, pretty active chat with him and Mike Omelon, and he said right away he picked up Hinton in a couple leagues. He was going to roll him out in the flex spot over Giovanni Bernard. I think that's slightly a mistake. And you know, Hinton could run a bit. He could call his own number. Maybe he throws a touchdown, and then you're looking at double digit points. But there's a lot of risk involved that I don't think you really need to take. So you could be hard up, but that's clearly the biggest news of the day, and there's been a ton of it. And there's a ton of news as I'll just roll through some of the injuries here. As I mentioned, Jonathan Taylor is placed on the COVID list, so you're going to be without him after coming off his arguably his best game of the season. He had a team-high 4 grabs. He had 80% of the rushing attempts. Get to Nyheim Hines in just a little bit. But Todd Gurley is also ruled out. James Conner, as I mentioned, COVID list. Mark Ingram, J.K. Dobbins, these guys as well, COVID list. Savon Ahmad ruled out. Rex Burkhead done for the season. Tevin Coleman not going to play. Running backs questionable. Kalen Ballage is questionable. Austin Eckler is questionable. He was activated from the IR. I think Austin Eckler is going to play. So if you're an Eckler owner, you have to play him. Just forget about all that pitch count, any of those reports that you hear. I would just play him. Remember a couple weeks ago when Aaron Jones was supposed to be on a pitch count, Chris McCaffrey was supposed to be on a pitch count, and these guys just balled out. You play Austin Eckler. You spent that draft capital on him. You play him. As for Ballage, you know, if Eckler didn't play and Ballage did, like, Ballage would be a borderline RB2. Just what he's doing every single week is back-to-back weeks with 23 touches, involved through the air, getting a lot of the usage that Joshua Kelly had a couple weeks ago and Justin Jackson had before Joshua Kelly, or actually probably after Joshua Kelly, you know, when they realized that Joshua Kelly wasn't any good, they started rolling out with Justin Jackson. Nonetheless, Eckler is the play. He's a top 15, worst case. I got him right now at RB13. He's a top 15 back. If he's active and he's playing, you play him. If he doesn't, Ballage turns into a low-end RB2. With Eckler playing, Ballage is probably, I don't know, a flex in a 16-team league. I don't think you really want to roll him out, but I don't think Eckler's going to go in and carry the ball 15 times. I think Ballage will still be involved if he's active and he's healthy. But Eckler just has so much upside, especially through the passing attack, with this game being 53 points last total I saw, 52.5. Could be some points there. Could be a few grabs for Eckler. Myles Gaskin not going to play. I already mentioned Ahmad not going to play. So Matt Breida, yeah, Patrick Laird, Matt Breida against the Jets. I don't think Laird, we all know, like, Laird is not a guy who's going to run between the tackles and have that much success on the ground. So I think Breida could fall into, you know, 10 to 12 carries in a decent matchup against the Jets. They're touchdown favorites. Could get a little bit more play in, you know, at the end of the game. DeAndre Washington only had a couple snaps and a couple touches the last time he played. So I think this is Breida's backfield. That's the guy I have ranked the highest out of the three Dolphins. Giovanni Bernard is questionable. It was looking like he wasn't going to play with a concussion that popped up late in the week, and then the very next day he was able to practice and play. So just have Samaje Perine close by if you are a Gio owner. I have all of these guys as a mix in Gio and P. Ryan. I have all three of them on my team for some reason. I just have no other options, and it's just next man up. I think P. Ryan would be next man up if Giovanni Bernard didn't play. And P. Ryan has been involved over the past couple weeks too, right? He stole a goal line touch a couple weeks ago. The bottom line here is the Bengals offense stinks, and I think that's where Drew is going with, you know, playing Hinton over Gio is what do we really expect with Joe Burrow not there under center? They're going to Brandon Allen. Are they going to be able to move the ball? Giants defense has been pretty decent this year. So what are we really expecting from Gio? I'm, you know, 15 carries for 40 yards and three or four grabs for another 20 yards. It's like 10 points. I mean, if Hinton throws a touchdown, it's 10 points. So I get where Drew's, what he's thinking, but it's all about context and what kind of options you have. Over to wide receiver position, DJ Chark, Chris Conley, these guys are out. So you see on the board, Keelan Cole, Cole's on the board. Laviska Shenault, these are guys that are, Shenault especially, because he's missed a couple weeks, widely available. We have Mike Glennon under center. All Mike Glennon hasn't done in the NFL is win a football game. Mike Glennon is not a great quarterback. Tough matchup against Cleveland. It's been the James Robinson show. Glennon's going to throw the football just a little bit. He has to throw the football. If Cleveland gets up by a couple scores, they're touchdown favorites as well. Glennon's going to have to throw the football. Who's he throwing it to? Keelan Cole, Laviska Shenault. These are just options. They're wide receiver threes, flexes at best. I like Shenault more than Cole. I think Cole is a little bit safer. I think there's more upside with Laviska Shenault. But I think both of these wide receivers are going to get some play. They have to. It's just an uptick given the situation with Conley and Chark out. Larry Fitzgerald. Not going to play. COVID list. John Brown. Not going to play. Adam Thielen. Looking doubtful. COVID. Not going to play. Julio Jones. Game time decision. I don't know, Julio. We've been game time decision forever. Past 3 years is game time decision. Again. You have him. He's active. You kind of have to play him. Unless you're in a 16-18 league, then you have other options. But if you're in a standard 12-team league where everybody starts three wide receivers and a flex, you may not have a better option. Probably, like, I would play Julio over Laviska Shenault. You just have to do that. You can't be too crazy. But if you got a DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, you're making the choice between these two guys, you play the healthy wideout. Brandon Ayuk, questionable, COVID. Samuel Deebo. What did I call him? Damuel Sebo? Well, Damuel Sebo, not expected to play. Samuel Deebo, expected to play. Jerry Jeudy. Questionable. Saw the tweet. I think he's going to play. You know, he was talking about being the quarterback. I think he's going to play. He's going to suit up. MVS is questionable. And then tight end Hayden Hurst is questionable. Wow, what a week, right? That's absolutely crazy. I'm going to just run through, you know, some of my running back rankings here. I'll just skip over the studs. I mean, you're playing all these guys that are studs. I mean, I had Zeke ranked as a top 12 running back this week. He had 2 points. Yikes. Where's Zeke going in drafts next year? You're not going in the first two rounds. I know Dak will be back and the offense will be better. Zeke could turn out to be one of the better bargains in fantasy football, but he's not a first-round pick next year. I don't care what anybody tells me. He just doesn't look – he just looks like he's lost it. So Kareem Hunt, borderline top 12 back. I mentioned Eckler. Actually, I'm an RB14. Wayne Gallman I have as a top 20 running back. He's been solid. He's been fine. Naheem Hines, I have as a top 20 back, more than him in a little bit. Brian Hill, top 20 running back, more than him in a little bit. Gus Edwards is in the play now, RB23. Raheem Mostert, looks like he's going to return. Don't forget about Raheem Mostert. He's a top 25 running back this week. I have Giovanni Bernard actually outside the top 25, and the more I think about it, I may just bump him down a little bit more. I have Breda at RB29, just behind Melvin Gordon and Frank Gore in that same matchup. I know Gore is whatever, but... you know, he's probably going to fall into 15 carries. And last week he had 15 carries and had a touchdown. He had 15 fantasy points. So that's kind of what he could do again. Actually, I have Benny Snell at RB28. Breda at 27. My bad. Breda at 27. Snell at 28. Gordon at 29. And then Gore at 30. So, like, big cluster right there. Justice Hill. Maybe they're getting real desperate and crazy here, but I think Justice Hill is going to get on the field and catch a few passes. But, you know, it's RG3 under center, so this offense is going to look a little bit different. So you don't need to get too nuts there. Like, if you had to make a choice between Hill and Wilkins, I would take Wilkins over Hill. But I wouldn't be shocked if Justice Hill came in and had a couple catches. He showed up last year, given an opportunity when Baltimore was really resting, and he had a couple catches. And, you know, he could at least do that for you. But this is crazy. Patrick Laird, Anthony McFarlane, Devontae Booker. These guys just need to be owned in deeper leagues. They just need to be grabbed. They need to be rostered. Josh Jacobs is going to play, but you just need to have the next man up just in case with everything that's happened in COVID. And I just think it's very important if you can, you know, roster a couple running backs on your bench as opposed to maybe, you know, wide receivers. Wide receivers are easier to pluck up off the waiver wire. I think running backs are a little bit tougher. So just kind of have the next man up if you can afford to do so. This is wild. Week 12, absolutely nuts. Okay, I have some picks and some props, and we're going to get out of here. If you have any questions, at Chris Meany anytime, you can always reach out. Leave the comment on the YouTube page, a starter set question. I will get back to you before kickoff on Sunday morning, and hopefully we just don't hear any more news, like, because I don't think we can take it anymore. There's no teams on bye, and it just feels like there's seven teams on bye, and we're trying to figure out who to replace these certain players with. So let's put up the picks board first. As I said, I had to make some changes. I had Saints originally on the spread, so I'm going with Vegas here, -3 favorites against the Falcons. I really like this Vegas team. I think that they're underrated, and I don't even know if this game will be close, to be honest with you. Even if Julio Jones plays, I mean, it could be semi-close, but you saw what Vegas was able to do against the Chiefs last week, and they're a good team, man. They beat the Saints this year. They struggled against the Bucs, but they have some pretty solid wins. They beat the Chiefs earlier in the year. They have some good wins on their schedule. They're fighting for their playoff lives. The Falcons are not. They didn't look great at all last week. Matt Ryan was sacked 8 times. So I like Vegas. They can run the rock. I just think it's going to be the Josh Jacobs show. I think he's going to have a lot of success running the football. I'm a big fan of Josh Jacobs this week. Maybe I'll touch on him just a little bit more towards the end of the show with some DFS plays. But I like Vegas by 3. I like Cleveland by 7 as well. I know Denzel Ward is not going to play. Myles Garrett not going to play either. But I think that they win by a touchdown with Mike Glennon under center and then, and you know, Jacksonville missing some offensive pieces. I think they're just going to run the rock with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. You know, Chubb has over 200 yards and just under 40 carries in 2 games since he's returned, and Hunt has been just as dominant when Chubb is there as well. So it's going to be a 1-2 punch. They're both going to run the football. I thought I would maybe take the under there, but I'm just afraid that Cleveland may score too many points, and we could get some garbage time stuff there from Jacksonville. So I'm shying away from the under, picking Cleveland by a touchdown. The Chargers plus 4.5. I wanted to come in here with a bit of an upset. It's no fun just picking all chalk, but that's kind of my upset pick of the week. I do feel like the Bills, you know, in my own pool, I will pick the Bills. But if there's an upset that I had to go up and down the board, this is one of them at Chargers. I think that they can pull it off. Plus 4.5, I definitely like that. I think it's going to be a field goal game. Chargers always lose heartbreaking games, right? You know, they get it up late, and then maybe they blow it towards the end. So Chargers plus 4.5, that's kind of the upset that I'm going with this week. As I said, I had the Saints in there, 6.5. I wanted to jump away from that. Also, Arizona on the money line, there's more value picking them on the spread at -2, but I got them here at the money line against the New England Patriots. I'm picking KC over Tampa Bay. Now, I wouldn't be shocked if the Bucs won, but I just haven't seen, show me one good win on Tampa Bay's schedule. Green Bay? Sure. Other than that, where is it? Beat Carolina twice. They've gotten embarrassed by the Saints in 2 games. Last week, the Rams just had their way. The Chiefs are going to roll. I mean, Jared Goff almost threw for 400 yards and 3 touchdowns. What's Patrick Mahomes and company going to do? So I like the Chiefs on the money line. And then the Giants, the other team there, as I said, I'm comfortable taking them by a touchdown against the Bengals. But coming off the bye, I don't think they're as bad as their record states. I know we can all laugh and make fun of the NFC East all we want. But I think overall, they're a decent team. The defense has been okay. I actually like Daniel Jones in this spot. The Bengals, as I mentioned, without Joe Burrow. And their defense is just a complete mess. So, I think the Giants probably win by 10 points. I think double digits is certainly in reach with them. Over to the totals, 3 for 3 last week with the totals. Hopefully can go 3 for 3 this week with the totals, but usually when you come in here with 3 overs over 50-plus points, it's not a good sign, but this is what I'm rolling with. Titans and Indy over 51.5. I think it gets there. I think there's some points scored in this game. Chargers and Bills over 52.5, and then Chiefs and Bucks 56.5. So those are three of my favorite spreads anyways that I like. Got the parlay with the Saints. So the Saints are off the board now altogether. And there were 2 picks that I had earlier in the week. I had the Saints by 5, and I had the Steelers by 3. That was on Tuesday. That's why following FTN alerts on Twitter is great. You get the as soon as you see us bet it, you get it. And you know, odds change. Not into props yet, but I had Michael Thomas over 5.5 grabs plus money. Sterling Shepard over 4.5 grabs plus money. They're not plus money anymore. It's like -20, -140, I believe, for Michael Thomas, who had 52% a target share from Taysom Hill last week. Hill threw the ball 23 times, and Thomas had 12 targets, so 52% of the targets, and then 75% of the air yards. At 5.5, it's a tougher matchup, but the Broncos are going to stack the box. It's just going to be a bunch of box stacking going on in Denver this weekend between Hinton and Hilton or Hill. Can't even get these guys right, but they're going to stack the box and they're going to force Hill to throw the football. I like that he leaned on Thomas, getting sidetracked with the props, but if you see FTN alerts, you follow them on Twitter, you get the best, you get it right away because these odds are going to change, and that's why we're betting, and that's why we have that alert so you can see best possible odds right away before they change. And that's what we write in our notes as well. Steelers minus 3, probably going to change. All the COVID happens, they're minus 7.5. I don't know, it might even be off the books. Last I checked was minus 7.5. So this parlay, you're not going to be able to get it at plus 290. But you can swap out the Saints for Arizona if you want. Get Vegas, Cleveland, and the Giants in there. It's going to still hover around plus 290. Actually, it may even be better because Arizona was checking in at around minus 180, and the Saints were about minus 255 at the time I made this. So it's probably going to be around plus 340, plus 350 to get Arizona, Vegas, Cleveland, and the Giants. And then the teaser, I got this is a 6.7 game teaser, so plus 900. Got Cleveland in there just to win, Vegas not to lose by more than 4, the Giants plus 1, Green Bay to win by a field goal against the Bears, Mitch Trubisky under center. That's another injury I just kind of glossed over. No Nick Foles this week. Mitch Trubisky back under center. Arizona plus 5. And then I teased the totals down a little bit. So if you're not feeling the overs, it's going to adjust your odds. But if you're not feeling that high total of 56, I got KC and Tampa over 50. And then the Chargers and Bills over 45.5. So I like all four of those quarterbacks in DFS. Not breaking any news. I don't hate the Bucs. I think they're going to do their part and score some points. I mean, they're a top 5 scoring team in the NFL. And the Chiefs, I think, you know, again, not breaking any news, one of the best offenses in all of football. So both of those teams can get to, I think, at least the 24-point mark. And you get a 24-27 game. There we are. I mean, we get the T's and the total. But I think both of these teams will push to 30. So we get that over 56. The overall record on this show is 50-39 plus 12.7 units. Just taking a look right now. Last week was pretty good for me. You know, not bad overall at FTMBets.com. I went 24-7. So I'm up to 22 units right now. And Thursday Night Football was good as well. 5-for-4 on Thursday Night Football. Well, on the Thanksgiving Day. Some of the picks that we gave towards the end of the show had hit. We had the Texans to win the game. Marvin Jones, TJ Hawkinson over 4.5 grabs. Antonio Gibson over 52.5 rushing yards. Terry McLaurin over 5.5 receptions. Didn't get the Marvin Jones 55.5. So hopefully this is a trend here for this week. It's been a wacky week, but I think really what I like to do is when I see some of these injuries and, you know, some of these players who are not going to play, I just right away I go to the books and I try to get them before the odds change. Again, another reason to follow FTNAlerts.com. So I bring up my props board here, and I'm not sure if you'll be able to get this by the time you're listening, but I'll give you a little bit of an idea of you know, how high would it have to go for me to jump away. So you got Brian Hill there, over 2.5 receptions and 16.5 receiving yards. No Todd Gurley, as I mentioned. And with Brian Hill, I mean, this guy's been involved anyways. You know, he played more snaps than Todd Gurley last week, so he was already starting to trend up in this offense. He's got 7 games at least 2 catches with Todd Gurley in the lineup. So now that Gurley is out, I think he can get to that 3-4 catch mark. If Julio Jones doesn't play, I think Hill could maybe even flirt with 6 or 7 targets in this game. So I think he gets to that 3 catch mark. And if I think he's going to catch 3 balls, he's probably going to get 17 yards. And if they're down in the game, which I expect them to, they're going to have to throw a little bit more. So I like the Hill receiving props, catches, and yards. It's plus 105 DraftKings Sportsbook for over 2.5 receptions. That's pretty good. That's real good, actually. And then same sort of deal here with Jonathan Taylor out. And I waited a few hours, actually. I saw the Nyheim Hines props, and then they didn't change. So I don't know if these will change. They may go up just a little bit. I think with Hill, I wouldn't go over 3.5 I would go, but I wouldn't go over 4.5. Like, that's just too crazy. But 3.5 could potentially, it could get there and it could get to plus money. Or I wouldn't go more than, you know, minus 150. I think minus 150, 2.5 grabs is fine. But other than that, you've really got to lay some juice. For Hines, over 22.5 rushing yards, that's just too low. He played 2 weeks ago against this very same Titans team with Taylor on the squad and Jordan Wilkins, and he had 12 carries, 70 rushing yards. He caught a few balls out of the backfield. He had a touchdown. He had about 20 opportunities in that game. So there's no Jonathan Taylor here. I mean, he's going to get 22.5 rushing yards, is he not? I think it's his backfield. I mean, you could get a little bit of Jordan Wilkins in there, but 22.5 rushing yards for a guy I expect to get 10-plus carries, I mean, I think he definitely gets there. So love that one. And then 23.5 receiving yards. This one may not be for everybody, but he has at least 20 receiving yards in 8 games this season. And again, Jonathan Taylor has played in all of those 8 games that he had at least 20 receiving yards. So I really do like those two together. And like I said, I mean, I think it would have to get to minus 170, or the rushing prop would have to get to 39.5 for me to shy away from that. You could see it get up to 38.5. I still would take the over. I think Hines gets about 50 rushing yards, catches three or four passes, and he probably flirts with 70-plus total yards for the day, just to kind of put that into perspective. So those are the props that I like. And then Chase Edmonds, over 2.5 receptions, my guy Chase Edmonds. This one has worked out well for us all year. It's right around 2.5, 3.5. You know, I mentioned Larry Fitzgerald not going to play in this game. And Chase Edmonds, you know, he lines up in the slot a lot. We could see Drake and Edmonds on the field together. And if it is an up-tempo game, which I kind of expect it to be, I think Cam will have to chuck. And if he does chuck and they score some points, then we could see Edmonds on the field, you know, late in the game, catching a few passes. But this is what he does. He gets on the field and catches passes. So over 2.5. You know, since you're hanging around with me, I got a couple more that I'm just looking at ftnbets.com. I don't want to give too much away. Bosses won't be happy with me. Use that promo code Meany. I'm telling you, like, there's just – let me just take a look right now. I mean, Brad Evans is up 22 units. Kevin Adams is up 77 units. My goodness, the guy's an absolute stud. Noonan is up 25 units. Elliot Chris is up 24 units. And then Noah Riddell. So the show to the window with Riddell, Noonan, and Chris – as Noonan or Rudell's up 26 units. Those guys are combined 75 units right there. So, like, a lot of success over at ftmbets.com. If you want that to get in on the action, it's just $100 the rest of the year. You're going to get it all the way into the Super Bowl. So lots to happen if your season-long leagues are over and you just want to have some action on the weekend. So I got the Nyheim Hines over 3.5 grabs too. I like that one at plus 125. So there's a lot that I like this week, and a couple more on the way out. Why not? James White over 4.5 receptions, plus 130. White had that big monster game last week with Burkhead getting hurt. Burkhead's not around. I expect Arizona to score some points, and if they do score some points and they have to throw, it's not going to be Michelle or Harris catching balls. It's going to be James White catching balls. He looked like the James White of old last week, I think, of 9 targets and 6 grabs. So I think, you know, he can get back into that 6-7 target range. So 4.5 is a lot for a running back, but plus 130, I can get behind that. Calvin Ridley, 5.5, plus 105. Guys, don't want to reel them all off. There's a ton of props that I like over at ftnbets.com, and a few plus money ones as well. So on the way out, I'll give you a few players that I'm feeling in DFS. I like Josh Jacobs. I like him a lot, actually. Top the board, of course, Dalvin Cook. There's so much value now with, like, Hines and Hill showing up. And, you know, potentially if no Eckler and Ballage and then Matt Breida, there's just so much. Wayne Gallman. There's a lot of value at the running back position. So you could really spend up for Dalvin Cook. And I like Nick Chubb. But, you know, I really like Josh Jacobs on DraftKings and on FanDuel. I was just taking a look at, you know, the games where the Raiders roll, Jacobs touches the rock all the time. He has at least 21 rushing attempts in 5 of Vegas's 6 wins. He has touchdowns, 8 touchdowns. 8 of his 9, actually, have come in those wins. So there's a bit of a theme. When Vegas is down, they chuck in a little bit more, and it's not so much Jacobs getting involved. But when they're up, which I expect them to be this week, they roll Jacobs, and away he goes. So I would expect him. He's always near the top in touches and targets when I take a look at the stats to know on Monday at ftnfantasy.com. He's always near the top. But every time Vegas wins, he's at the very top. That's what he does. Other running backs that I like, Mike Davis, I think he can get slightly overlooked. And I think Austin Eckler, and if you're playing multiple lineups on DraftKings, I think he's sneaky. Speaking of getting overlooked, DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, everyone's going to go to Tyreek Hill and Keenan Allen, and I understand that. I think both of those guys should be rostered. You're playing in this Monday contest on FanDuel. Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, those guys are going to come into play. You know, Allen and Diggs are going to be very popular when, you know, with Allen to Diggs and then Herbert to Keenan Allen. These are popular. But nobody's really talking about DeAndre Hopkins. And that's just a little sneak peek that I got from Kyle Murray, our guy who does the projections ownerships over at ftndaily.com. So no one's really talking about DeAndre Hopkins. It's against the Patriots and Stephon Gilmore, who hasn't really looked all that good this year. So I think the fact that he let everybody down, Kyler and Hopkins and Kirk on Thursday Night Football against the Seahawks, this is the time to get in on them. There was a Thursday Night Football game. It's been over a week now since they played. People are not really talking about that game being high scoring. I think it's sneaky, and I think you can bring it back with Jacoby Myers because I think Jacoby Myers, tough matchup last week. Patrick Peterson is going to be on Damir Bird. I think Myers gets back into what we had saw from him in the 3 weeks prior. So I think that could be a sneaky little DFS game. Robbie Anderson is a wide receiver that I like as well. I like all of these guys from Carolina, DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, and Robbie Anderson. They all have fantastic matchups. According to our wide receiver cornerback matchup tool, Jeff Ratcliffe's baby, those three guys are in the top seven in terms of matchups against corners this week. And number two is Robbie Anderson. And Robbie Anderson hasn't had a touchdown since week one, so nobody wants to play him. Nobody's talking about him, but he hasn't been completely phased out of this offense. I was taking a look at just his game log so far this year, and he has at least four catches in every game, and he has at least eight targets in four of his past five. So, yeah, the big plays have gone to DJ Moore. He's top five in receiving yards, but Anderson is top 11 in receiving yards as well, and he's getting some. He's always been involved no matter the quarterback, and it looks like Teddy Bridgewater is going to return. And you can just throw on Minnesota, and I think that's what's going to happen. I mentioned Jacoby Myers. I think he's a sneaky little play as well. But like I said, if you can get up to Keenan Allen, Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill, you do that. Maybe you spend up at wide receiver and you spend down a little bit at running back. But just know that Hines and Hill, these guys are going to be very chalky. And what I mean by chalky is that they're going to be highly owned. So if you're playing in a head-to-head contest, sure, I don't mind that. A double up, a smaller contest. But if you're playing in a contest with 100,000 people and you're only going to put one or two lineups in, don't bother. Don't bother playing Hill or Hines. Just take some other shots elsewhere. Try to be a little contrarian, a little different with your lineups. At tight end, I'm spending all the way up for Travis Kelce. This is a prime spot. The Buccaneers have allowed the third most targets and the fourth most yards to the tight end position. And all Kelce has done over his last three games is rack up 34 targets, 26 grabs, and 395 yards. This is going to be an old-fashioned shootout. I love it. I think we're going to get a ton of points between the Bucs and the Chiefs. And Kelce has seven touchdowns this season. So it's either you spend up for him or Waller, but I think it's going to be Jacobs' game. Kind of fading the Carr Jacobs or the Carr Waller Aguilar connection. I do kind of like that and just rolling out Jacobs. But you either spend up for Kelce or Waller, or you spend in the middle with Henry, or you just spend all the way down. You punt the position with potentially Kyle Rudolph, Irv Smith, Adam Thielen, not going to play. Just looking a little bit at Kyle Rudolph, you know, three catches in four of his past five games. It's not anything exciting, but 50-point total between the Vikings and the Panthers. If the Panthers do chuck and they score some points, it may force Kirk Cousins to throw a little bit more. You know, Dalvin Cook's going to get a ton of work, 20-plus touches for sure in this game. But, you know, Justin Jefferson could get some double teams. It could leave some open soft coverage, really, some open passes for from Cousins to Rudolph. It's possible, and we know that he's a target, at least in the red zone. He has been in years past. Not so much this year, but he has been in years past. So my defense rankings go like this. Saints, and that's it. Story, Mr. Hinton. But I'm rolling out the New Orleans Saints. You know, you can go Miami, Rams, Giants. You're playing in that Sunday-Monday contest. You can go Seattle against Carson Wentz, who can't complete a football pass. Another injury on the way out, I just saw it. Zach Ertz doesn't look like he's going to play either. So another week of maybe Dallas Goedert, even though he's been kind of, he scored a touchdown late. It was in garbage time. So he's been okay, I guess. But not like a top five tight end, which a lot of people thought that he would be. That'll do it, man. Boys and girls, thank you guys for tuning in. I'm just going to refresh Twitter here one more time just to see what the deal is. My buddy Pat Mayo says, assuming Kendall Hinton starts at and has wide receiver eligibility, who is the best wide receiver you would start over him? And that's just a great question. It really is. And if you have that sort of question, feel free to leave it in the comment section on YouTube or reach out at Chris Meany. The DMs are open, but you know, I see them if you tag me a little bit easier than the DMs. I'm not playing them over. I don't think I'm playing him over like 30 wideouts that I have ranked over at FTNFantasy.com. I mean, check out my rankings there. Like, I'm not playing over Sterling Shepard. Jameson Crowder, I like more that, you know, Sam's under center. Kirk, no. Curtis Samuel, Mike Williams, Keelan Cole, Michael Pittman Jr. I'm not going there. I would maybe play him over like a Breshad Perriman or a, definitely play him over Henry Ruggs, KJ Hamler. I play him over his own teammate, KJ Hamler, who is a true wide receiver. So don't get too cute. Don't get too crazy, especially if you need a win. You don't want to go down and get eliminated because you played Hinton in your, you know, your flex spot. So lots of craziness. Thanks for taking the time as always. Really appreciate it. You went in on the Jerry Jeudy signed mini helmet, or you went in on the Allen Robinson signed mini helmet. Send a screenshot subscribing to those shows. This one, Mean Streets, FTN Fabcast. Put your name in a draw, and we'll draw next week for those helmets. Again, appreciate all the support from everybody. Good luck. Hopefully you're able to get by, and you know, just stay safe out there. Hopefully you and your family are doing all right. Mask up. It's not like we're asking you to wear a Maple Leafs jersey. It could be worse. Have a good one. Cheers.